TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Warning. The Outsider's Edge contains strong opinions, unconventional views, and contrarian stances. Listen, if you dare.
Hey, yo.
Ain't nobody really the gorilla. Ain't nobody really the gorilla. I said, ain't nobody really the gorilla. Ain't nobody really the gorilla. Gorilla tactics. Whoa.
As we are brought in by the fire tones. As we're brought in by the fire tones of the tongue against with whom we give our deference to. I'd like to thank you for listening to another episode of The Outsider's Edge. We ain't dead. We not gone. We still around. We still got business to handle.
We're still out here to get you all up in your feelings and make you hate us.
100%, basically. We got Babyface Fire for y'all tonight. First and foremost, let me introduce myself, of course. It's your boy Rance, a.k.a. Ray Cash. Let me introduce my brother, Dakota, to my Kenny, Mr. Kyle Morris. How you doing, sir?
Oh, you know, living the dream here in humid-ass South Carolina.
As our third esteemed brother, who, of course, is not here tonight, I ain't got no excuse for y'all tonight. He's just not here. But swamp-ass country, of course. But shout-out to Carl, who is doing whatever Carl does.
Shitposting 2019. That's what he's doing.
Well, it's about to be shitposting 2020. Or is there going to be a new slogan?
I mean, existential crisis 2020?
Meteor 2020. That's what it is. That's what we're waiting on. We're waiting on that good old meteor. We want to go hang out with the dinosaurs.
Can we get a factory reset up in this bitch?
Dog, right? Can we unplug Earth for like just 25 seconds?
Turn it off and turn it back on.
Did you see Toy Story? Was it Toy Story 3? Lotso,
the most recent one.
Three. When they were with Lotso the bear, and Bookworm got the manual for Buzz Lightyear, and he just turned him off and turned him back on, and he went back to being old Buzz. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you need to do something wild and crazy to reinvent yourself. I mean, just ask that shitty company to the north that we don't like to talk about.
Ring of Honor?
Oh, no, that other company that we don't like to talk about, Brother Rance.
AEW?
No. That other company that we don't like to talk about, Brother Rance. That Canadian one. I'll give you a hint. They used to have a six-sided ring.
I was trying to get one more snarky retort, but yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening to this episode, we are opening the show with the TNA topic. My God, we have jumped the shark. This is an episode of Happy Days
where Fozzie jumped the shark a long time ago. That's all right.
No, okay, so. It is relevant and it's hilarious. And as soon as I told Kyle the story, he stopped me mid-story and said, "This is what we're opening with."
So, because it's everything carny that is pro wrestling.
And it doesn't involve Jeff Jarrett. That's the amazing thing.
To set the stage for y'all, that company, just as a reminder, if you're listening to this show, you already know, that company has been playing television station roulette for going on 20 years now. They've been on Fox Sports. They've been on Spike TV. They've been on Discovery America and Pop TV.
Discovery America and Pop TV are real networks, ladies and gentlemen. That's not something you made up.
And
Twitch. They're on the gaming network Twitch. Yes.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't even know what the fuck network they're currently technically on.
Twitch. Oh, and it's the Redneck channel. What's it called? The Outdoors channel? Whatever it is. One of them channels.
No, because no. That was a channel they was on, but that channel was going out of business or some shit, and so they had to switch to a different channel.
Jesus Christ.
Well, to another new channel.
When the apocalypse...
That's why they did what they did.
When the apocalypse happens, ladies and gentlemen, and the zombies take over the earth, or if you're biblical, if you're religious, when the fire takes over the earth, Impact will still be alive. Because these motherfuckers know how to survive. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to read a press release to you, ladies and gentlemen. Anthem Sports and Entertainment announced today, of course that was a few days ago, that they have acquired a majority interest in Mark Cuban's Access TV and HDNet movies. There have been rumors on Anthem purchasing Access for a few months now, and now those talks have been confirmed. You think it can't get any crazier than this? Yes, Anthem bought a TV channel so Impact could have TV. It gets crazier. Longtime comedian and actor Steve Harvey has joined Anthem as an investor and a strategic partner through his Steve Harvey Global Production Company. Harvey now has a seat on the Anthem board. It gets crazier than that, ladies and gentlemen. Please continue listening to the story. Anthem, which is the parent company of Impact Wrestling, will assume daily operations of the two channels. Wrestling promotions New Japan Pro Wrestling and WOW, Women of Wrestling, currently air on Access TV. I mean, so, breaking it down in three ways. Anthem Sports, the Canadian OWL company that bought Impact for whatever reason they bought it from the Carters for.
And are somehow shittier.
Yeah, how are you worse than Dixie?
Like, somehow shittier.
How is it possible?
Killer Cross left because they didn't want him because he wouldn't agree to Blade for them.
And they wouldn't work nowhere else, by the way.
You won't cut your face for us intentionally because, you know, you care about your longevity? Fuck you, get out.
They've really fucked over Killer Cross, and that's go look at that story. We don't have enough time to talk about that, but go look that story up. But so these fools bought Access TV, or the majority share, so they bought it.
And then they hired Host a Family Feud, your favorite stand-up comic and mine, of course. Nah, not really. But like, as two men of color who grew up in the 90s and early 2000s.
Steve Harvey
holds a very special place in our hearts.
100%.
Very, very special place. But that don't mean I want Steve running the wrestling show.
Steve not only runs his wrestling show, it's also going to run New Japan and WOW's television. So imagine now.
Dun, 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 dun.
Can you imagine Anthem saying, hey, New Japan, we got these guys over here that we need you to go ahead and book on your shows. Like, you know what's going to happen? And for Women of Wrestling, half of the TNA's women's division already wrestles for a while. Kiera Hogan, Tessa was the world champion over there for a minute. Like, this is crazy. And then it gets crazy.
But you know what? Sinclair could do this shit with Ring of Honor, but they don't give a fuck about Ring of Honor. Anthem bought a fucking network so that they could promote their damn promotion. And I bet you that they're not going to give Impact a shit time slot on Saturdays at midnight.
No, Thursdays at 10, something like that.
No, I was going to say, I bet they do like a Thursday at like 9 because...
Yeah. Yeah, something like
it's
that.
It's their network, so why not put their shit on like a prime time?
I mean, like,
more
eyes,
to be honest, at any time, any.
It's Access TV. What else is on Access?
Yeah, exactly. We're proud to postpone this 15th rerun of Rambo to show you.
Bare knuckle fighting 17, like so.
Yeah, whatever, John Van Damme bullshit.
Let me also give the final part of the story. So all this happened, and because of this, apparently Anthem fired over 40 people from Access TV, including the guy who brought Ring of Honor and what's the other channel? And New Japan and all these whatever brought Ring of Honor to HDNet, brought New Japan and WOW to Access. He gone. So I'm gonna let you go ahead and vamp on that for a second because my brain is still spinning on the fact that this happened we're even talking Impact Wrestling.
I mean, like, here's the thing. I understand them getting rid of people because that's real common when a company takes over another company. I get it, but that doesn't make it any less shitty for the people who are affected by it. That doesn't make it any less shitty for the situation writ large. I do think in the end, this makes Impact more relevant than Ring of Honor because Impact is being invested in a way that Ring of Honor is not, even though Sinclair Broadcasting has way, way, way more money and equity and clout than Access does. Sinclair's in way more homes than Access TV is. So, like, but the difference is, as I said before, I would guarantee you that Anthem will give Impact a prime slot on whatever network during one day of the week. They'll find a day they ain't got shit else on and be like, boom, 9 o'clock. That's our new Impact slot.
Just to give some facts to what Kyle's saying, guys, who's listening, Sinclair owns the most number of television stations in the country. That's not an exaggeration. Go look it up.
No, it's legitimate. So, like, but, you know, they're going to give Impact an actual time slot, and they'll give them actual advertising and actual promotion, whereas Ring of Honor gets none of that on Sinclair TV. They get a shit time slot on throwaway television. They get no advertising. The advertising that they do get, because they're on at fucking midnight, is for, like, old people's knee braces and you're a free rascal.
Hey,
you might qualify for a free rascal. That's all I'm gonna say.
Don't hate on those rascals. Them hoes look so fun. I grew up my grandparents. You grew up your parents, so technically your grandparents. You understand?
I understand. But, like, I'm just saying, that's the advertising that they get. Like, and that's not even an exaggeration. Jay Lethal was, like, doing fucking infomercials for some kind of, like, hotline for years as a Ring of Honor commercial. So, like, they got shit for investment, and they shouldn't have. So, to me, this means Impact is about to be more relevant than Ring of Honor, which is just another chapter in our long list of 2019, the year that Ring of Honor died.
Speaking of Ring of Honor, you know who just signed with them today, right?
No, tell me.
Session Marth Martino.
Oh, poor Session.
I know, right? Like, I feel so bad for Martino. Like, you could have went anywhere.
Yeah, like, seriously.
That's you know, I got a word for that. Here's the word for that, Kyle. That's disconcerting.
It is. It does. It concerns me.
Oh, well, anyway, so yeah, we're done with that. But I do think it's relevant in a much bigger level than we're talking, because Access TV was almost solely responsible for helping New Japan do its Western expansion.
And now it could also, but I mean, it could ultimately force New Japan to, and I mean, this is again another point for my thread on the slow decline of Ring of Honor, it could force New Japan to work more closely with Impact, because, like, Anthem owns their network now if they're going to continue to air there. But the more long-term question is, for how long will they continue to air there?
Okay, but speaking of that, who is Gato's number one favorite guy on this earth?
Number one favorite? Okada.
And what company does Okada hate with a passion?
Impact.
Okada literally, again, those of you who don't do your research and don't remember
his name. I'm so glad that I got the question right, because for a second I was worried.
No, you were, well, I mean, one could say in kayfabe is Jay White, but yes, it's Okada. Okada, when he did his excursion to TNA, they had him play, if you ever watched the old Green Hornet episodes, or the Green Hornet shows, or the shitty Green Hornet movie with Seth Rogen, the Green Hornet was this rich white guy who basically was like a poor man's Batman, but he who couldn't fight, who had no powers, and just had a lot of money. But he had this really, really dope-ass Asian dude named Kato, who was basically the guy who fought everybody and everything, and was like his driver and his butler or whatever. They had him playing the Kato to Samoa Joe. Okada, who might be the best wrestler in this world, maybe the best wrestler of this decade, was playing Kato. Yeah, Okada's gonna tell them real quick, I'm not doing it, brother. That doesn't work for me. That's my favorite saying.
And that was back when Joe could still really, really, really go. So like, there were so many opportunities the two of them could have had together.
Man, just of course, it was also.
I mean, they weren't letting anybody wrestle back then. I mean, that was a really shit time for that company. But then again, when is it not a really shit time for that company?
Agreed. And so this could be interesting in that New Japan might want to find a different. Might want to find a different television channel.
I don't think it could be. I'm not even sure it's going to necessarily be a want situation. I could see a scenario where Anthem decides that they're not going to have other wrestling companies on their network, that they're going to make it just for Impact. I could see Anthem allowing those working relationships to continue, especially if it got them more of a working agreement with New Japan. But like, I could also easily see a scenario where Anthem was just like, no, we're not going to renew that deal. You guys are just going to have to go somewhere else. Kick rocks. And then that begs the better question of who would take them. What kind of network could they find?
Well, TNT's gone.
Yep.
NBC Universal is they're in bed 100% with WWE.
So is Fox. So is Fox.
You can say Fox too. Absolutely. They're gonna probably have to go second tier, and then what kills them is Kevin Kelly really is passionate about their company. So I don't want. I mean, there's no disrespect to Kevin Kelly. And I know Don Callis is like the boss over at Impact, but he's probably not gonna be able to do both, especially if they lose New Japan leaves. But I'm sure major networks are gonna have, as messed up as it is, some type of issue with having a primarily Japanese company. Now see, this isn't like Lucha Libre,
well, especially
which
primarily
you can put on
Japanese
Lucha Libre channel on Spanish channels.
Well, especially a primarily Japanese company that is realistically not producing shows regularly. Like, because New Japan is designed as inherently a touring company. They are a company that does shows and tours, and every show matters, and the little details in every show matter, and that's how they build their stories and blah, 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 blah. They have a handful of events. And that's why they're only on television a handful of dates. Now, in some cases, that's beneficial to them because it means they've always got that rareness factor. But in other cases, like, that's not a good thing when you consider the language barrier and casual fans. Like, that's not how you build a successful deal. I think that they should pursue I don't know. I think you're right with second tier, but I think that they should pursue, like, I don't know, try to get some of that Disney money.
Nah, Disney would only want the best. Disney bought Marvel.
I'm not talking about putting them on ESPN, dog. I'm talking about putting them on, like, the streaming service.
No, I hear you. What I'm saying is, let me tell you how Disney rolls. Disney did John Carter a few years ago, which was like this.
They thought that was going to be so good, and it was such a flop. It was one of the biggest flops in cinema history.
It is the biggest flop in cinema history. And that it was so bad, they said, fuck it, we're going to buy Lucasfilm. We're not going to make it a better, we're not going to make a better sci-fi movie. We're buying Lucasfilm and just going to take over Star Wars. That's how Disney rolls. They're not buying New Japan. Sorry.
I didn't say they were going to buy it.
I mean, then yeah, New Japan's not getting on Disney, on ESPN or none of their channels. They need to be looking at like WGN or something like that.
WGN America ain't gonna put New Japan on.
Shit, I don't know who will. So you know what they really need to do? Fix their streaming service. How about that? Anyway, as I journalism to some more relevant things. Hey, WWE, hey, they got stuff going on, too.
They got a streaming service.
They have a very good streaming service, a very bad streaming service if you ask Clive right now, but that's another conversation.
Well, and we only can speak for the streaming service in the Americas. We have no idea what the quality of that service is like in the United Kingdom. And if it's anything like the government in the United Kingdom, I imagine it's not very high quality right now.
Had to get that dig in, huh? Had to get it in.
Oh, Brexit's a disaster, and I have to take every opportunity to mention that.
Hey, agreed. So WWE apparently went home. They had in this much lauded, much waited for shows back at Madison Square Garden. The first television tapings at Madison Square Garden in almost 10 years.
A decade, pal.
Hey, I got to tell you, though. The shows were really good.
The shows were really good. You know, one of my instant thoughts was, it's a sad time for Madison Square Garden. Like, the Rangers are trash, the Knicks are trash, and they're both going to be trash for the foreseeable future.
Question. When were the Knicks and the Rangers not trash?
The Rangers won a Stanley Cup in 1994.
Question again.
Yeah.
What year were you born?
1990.
Since you've been born, that one year aside when they had Gretzky, when have they not been trash?
They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals like 3 years ago.
You two successful seasons in 30 years?
Oh, bro, I'm not saying that they're like a traditional powerhouse. I'm just saying that, like, they've been good recently. They just super mega dumpster fire trash now.
The point is,
dumpster fire trash.
Madison Square Garden, the teams are playing MSG are trash.
How many times are the Knicks going to strike out on the elite level free agents before they finally realize that elite level free agents don't want to play for the Knicks?
They want to play for the Knicks, just they don't want to play for James Dolan. So James Dolan goes away, they'll get him.
He ain't going to sell the team unless people stop going. People ain't going to stop going to Knicks games. Spike Lee and Stephen A. Smith can whine and cry and be upset all they want. We both know their ass is going to be sitting courtside.
Well, you know what NBA franchise is worth the most? The Knicks. The Knicks haven't done anything. The Knicks haven't been to the playoffs in almost 6-7 years. The Knicks haven't been to a final since 99. And the finals in 99 was a strike-shortened season where they were the 8th seed and only got past the Heat because Allen Houston hit every inch of the rim on a shot. So, like,
they're playing so hard to the Patrick Ewing glory days.
You say glory days, like they couldn't get past Jordan, and when Jordan left, they couldn't get past Hakeem.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you know, in fairness, who the fuck could get past Jordan and Hakeem?
Nobody. But that, we're not talking facts. We're just, you know, nobody.
I'm just saying, in fairness. But anyway, it's a depressing time for the Garden. And I mean, even more so when you consider that, like, from a WWE perspective, they've primarily shifted a lot of their shit to Brooklyn.
But the reason why is apparently it's a logistical nightmare, and it's a logistical nightmare to tape at MSG. And it's expensive as all hell to tape at MSG. It's cheaper in Brooklyn. It's easier logistically to go to the Barclays. And not even that. Nassau Coliseum down there in Long Island is easier and cheaper. All these stadiums are within 15 miles of each other, not to mention East Rutherford.
The problem MSG has from a logistics standpoint is, like, Penn Station is really the only transit option there, and Penn Station is antiquated as fuck.
Yes.
There's literally no parking at all.
Zero.
You're in the central part of Manhattan, so, like, you are in the middle of the shit. It's get in and out.
I've been there. So when you see it logistically, you understand.
Same. I've been there.
You'll understand. But let's talk about some stuff that happened at the shows. What do you think of Stone Cold and his involvement with Seth, with Braun, with AJ and the OC? Like, how did that come up to you?
I'm gonna give my thoughts on him and Undertaker from Tuesday at the same, like, in one.
Sure.
And I was kind of surprised by this because even though overall I'm generally much more over the Undertaker than I am Stone Cold, when I was watching on Monday, all I could personally think is, God, Stone Cold as a gimmick has just not aged well for me, and I just don't get the nostalgia buzz from him anymore. I don't... Like, it does nothing for me. But I know that I'm in the extreme minority on that because the crowd went banana pancakes for it. Mm-hmm. With Undertaker, it was just another typical Undertaker. 5 minutes of intro. But I did like the addition of Sami Zayn. I was like, wow, Sami, you got balls. And they must really like you. They gave you an Undertaker spot.
They love Sami, but don't let WWE haters say that, because Sami hasn't won a match since he came back. Who gives a fuck? Nobody cares about wins and losses. Sami's one of the highest paid guys in the company. They love Sami Zayn.
And he's on TV every week.
And he's one of the few people that has a live mic and can say whatever he wants. He's not produced. Mm-hmm. So
he got to speak, like, he was talking mid-chokeslam.
He's so good. I am a Texan, so by nature, it is written in my DNA to like Stone Cold Steve Austin. I can understand... Yeah, knowing what you know about him, I think he's a good dude who had to get there. Very clearly, he had issues in the past. The beer thing does nothing for me because I'm technically, I guess you could call me straight edge. I don't drink, I don't smoke. But his level of star power and the aura he exudes, nobody on this roster, but maybe Roman and Charlotte can match. He overshadowed, and you know what? Let me amend. Nobody but Roman, Charlotte, and maybe AJ, because he overshadowed Seth and Braun so strong. When Stone Cold came out, the crowd, like, I think the roof came off and came back. Braun and Seth come out, two of the biggest baby faces in the company for the past 2, 3, 4 years, and the crowd was like, hey, it's crazy, right? Now, AJ came out, and of course, we know AJ and the OC, who's a good tag team, but they're geeks, all things considered. AJ was the only person involved in that entire scrum who felt like he deserved to be in the same ring with Stone Cold.
But, you know, I think that is more an admonishment of the rest of them than it is anything else. I think that the difference between AJ Styles and the rest of them, even Seth, I think AJ carries himself like a star in a way that I don't feel like Seth does. Seth still feels like a kid who's playing wrestler.
Okay. I can see that.
As opposed to AJ, who feels like a main event actual wrestler.
Do you think it's because Seth's been given everything everywhere he's went? In Ring of Honor, he was basically given the reins really fast. He main evented in Ring of Honor really, really fast. In NXT, mm-hmm. they built FCW and NXT around him, essentially. And during the combat as the Shield, he wasn't the main guy, but he ended up being the main guy, and he got the push out of the Shield. But you look at AJ's career, and while he was the top guy at the beginning of the TNA stages, he was the lackey to Christian Cage, he was a lackey to Ric Flair, he was a lackey to Kurt Angle. He got basically run away from that company that he built on his back. He had to go to the indies.
He had to do a fucking Dixie Carter storyline.
Right? Claire Lynch. He had to go to the Bullet Club. I'm sorry, to Bullet Club. No V, those of you who keep saying the Bullet Club. It's just Bullet Club. In New Japan to kind of get some stink. Like, he had to really go through some stuff. And the one thing I was thinking, but it was mentioned on Busted Open, was you forget. He shared the ring with Hogan. He shared the ring with Flair. He shared the ring with Angle and Sting and Nash and
Hall, Booker Steiner. And Hall.
Yeah. He shared the ring with these guys on a consistent basis.
And not just in TNA. People forget AJ was on the WCW roster when it went bankrupt. Like, he has been with that. And was trained by those guys and learned the business from those guys. And so he knows what it takes to exude presence and star power in a way that the others that were in the ring with him can't match.
Well, God bless Braun. I feel bad for him because Braun doesn't come from wrestling.
Well, no, but I feel bad for Braun doesn't come from wrestling, but I also feel bad for Braun. When they had the lightning for Braun, they didn't strike, and they kept not striking to the point that the momentum was neutered in a way that it will never recover from.
They ride back.
Because like, he is still over, and he may get a title run, and he may reach a certain level. But if they would have let him beat Brock the first time in that one-on-one when he was on fire and everybody loved him, he didn't have to hold the title for long. If they'd have just let him beat Brock and be the champ, he'd have been made forever. In the way that Kofi has made himself over on SmackDown, and we'll get to Kofi in a second.
Yeah.
But, like, he would have been made in a way that he would have that presence. But now he doesn't have that presence because he's just
another guy. Well, I look at it the other way. Braun never had the presence to begin with, which is why he didn't get that push.
No, I mean, you're right. I think it's also a good example of the difference between the booking of Austin's time and the booking of the modern era. Mm-hmm. In the Attitude Era, because of the intensity of the Monday Night War and the necessity for constant short attention span, quick cut creativity,
Crash
TV aspect.
Yeah.
They were willing to take risks on people who weren't necessarily ready yet and let them grow into it. Or strike while the iron was hot just for the sake of, well, you know what, we hot potato the title all the time. If we give the title to this guy right now because the story is good, who cares? Because now we can forever say, oh, so-and-so is a former such-and-such champion. Vince McMahon held the WWF title. Kane held the title on his debut for a whole day just because it was
hot.
Fit. Yeah, he was hot. And the very next night, he lost the title back to Austin.
Clean.
And Kane didn't win a world title again for over a decade.
Like 15 years, yeah.
Yeah, because it was like 2008 or 9, 10,
somewhere around there, yeah.
It was after he had already unmasked and shaved his head. So, like,
you know, he didn't win another world title again for years and years and years, but he won it back then, and they could forever call Kane a former WWF champion who beat The Undertaker and blah, 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 blah. And that made Kane bigger than his station on the card would make you think he should be. And he always had presence because of that. In the modern booking era, they are not willing to take those same risks, and guys like Braun end up being perpetual mid-card fodder.
Oh, well, that, and you know, another thing I think that we don't talk about enough is the size of the roster is so much smaller that the big man still matters. But it's one thing for Big Show to lose to Triple H or to Austin. Triple H is 6'4", 260. Austin's 6'2", 245, right? They're big dudes. But Braun is losing matches or involved in matches with small, small guys. So, like, even as hard as it was for you to believe that Austin or Angle or Voldemort, Benoit, or Eddie, these ultra-talented but smaller dudes could beat Cena, who's just superhuman but is really technically small, can beat these huge guys, Taker and Kane and Sho and Khali and all these huge guys. I think it's different when you have these smaller, more wrestling-centric guys who are going toe-to-toe with a guy like Braun, who has been built to be otherworldly. So when Braun loses, and he's built to be otherworldly, Braun was built to be more otherworldly than Big Show ever was. Right?
Yeah, he was introduced as a Wyatt.
Yeah, but I mean, the things he's done, he's pulled down the Titantron, he's broken rings, he's done all this stuff.
They did the same stuff with Braun that they did with their last strongman. This is what they did when Mark was a face during those SmackDown years before the Hall of Pain.
Yes, whenever
he was a face, they would have him do World's Strongest Man shit. Mm-hmm. Braun did the same type of shit, only from the monster perspective.
Yes.
I broke out of a dump truck. I pulled down the stage. I, you know, tipped Roman over in the stretcher. I tipped over an ambulance. This, that, and the third.
I destroyed a car. With my bare hand. Like, so, but then when you see him selling for, like, smaller guys, there's a disconnect there. And that's not Braun's fault. I do think Braun is missing some small component that I can't put my finger on. But, like, you know the one thing I don't like that Braun did Monday? When he came out to the ring, the first thing he did was he tried to shake Austin's hand. You were just talking about how you were going to give him those hands because you thought him and Seth were in cahoots. The first thing you do is you acquiesce, Austin. You're supposed to be the monster among men. You don't acquiesce to anybody.
I think that hints at what's the little something that he's missing. Braun, I don't think, understands the character fully. And I don't think I don't think the writers know how to write the dialogue for the character. Which is another issue entirely. I don't think that they should be writing the dialogue. I think that they need to go back to bullet points and let it go.
If
you can talk, you can talk. If you can't, you can't. But I agree, he shouldn't be talking. He should have a mouthpiece.
I'm fine with him saying get these hands and like bare minimum. But like he shouldn't be having. And he was good on the mic Monday. Credit where credit is due. But like more often than not, Braun
people forget even the Undertaker had a valet for a huge chunk of his fucking career.
Yes.
Paul Bearer did all of his talking for him.
Yes.
When they were together. Anytime the two of them were united, Paul did
We know we're in a different world. There's really only like three managers now? Heyman, Stokely, and Malcolm Bivens. and Robbie E, which is, what is he, Rob Stone now? There's not a lot of managers. I guess Lana's a manager.
I know, and like, you're right, but you know, look at what it did for Andrade when they gave him Zelina.
That
small thing.
But that's a language barrier, dog. Like, what's the? You can't get no excuse to a full on speak English speaker. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, I know what you're saying, but like, I think the excuse that you give is, you don't even have to give that excuse. You can just have the excuse be that he comes unhinged really fucking easily, and that it's better to have someone else do the talking for him.
I hear you, and I get what you're saying. I don't think... I get why there aren't managers. I'm not saying I like it. I get it. And it's the same reason why Vince doesn't like tag teams. His thought process is, why put in all this work for two people when I can just get one? That's why he doesn't like tag teams. His thought process on tag teams is, why put two people together when I why put all this work on four people when I can get two that will make more money, because tag teams don't draw in the way that singles guys do. So if I have a tag team, it's only for the purpose of getting one guy over eventually.
You're not wrong, but with monster bigs, it's always better to give them a mouthpiece. Like, look at my favorite example, Umaga. Umaga wouldn't be Umaga without. In case you didn't know, my name is Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Very well done. Very well done. That was pretty good. Really, really good.
Like, without Estrada, Umaga wouldn't be Umaga.
I agree with you too.
Without Albert, Taker and Kane wouldn't have been what they were for a lot of their careers. Like,
I hate to be this nitpicker.
Great talkers, but like,
sure. You know. I hate to be this nitpicker, but everybody you've named, Andrade doesn't speak fluent English. Umaga's gimmick was a Samoan savage who couldn't speak.
Still,
Undertaker was supposed to be an undead zombie, and Kane was supposed to be a mute. Like, all these people had no excuse not to talk.
Yeah, like, and again...
Braun has no excuse.
I'm going to bring back... You know, I know kayfabe's dead, blah, 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 but I'm going to bring it back. Braun was brought in as a Wyatt cultist.
100%.
He could have been a mute in that sense. We don't need to hear him talk. He was a cult minion. Now he's an unleashed cult minion. And now I'm leading his crazed ass.
Well, speaking of cult minions, what did you think about Eric Rowan's all of a sudden verbose talking skills?
Eric Rowan gave a really great promo, but you know, my only thought, and this is terrible because Rowan absolutely deserves everything about this push because his mic work was exceptional. My only thought, though, the entire time I was watching is, God, this should be Luke Harper right now. this should be Luke. Why isn't this Luke? And then I felt bad because, again, Rowan deserves it. Like, Rowan's put in really good work. He did really great tag work with Daniel. He's really great on the microphone. He really understands his character. I'm enjoying this little program with Roman. Like, it... Props to Eric Rowan. But, like, man, poor Luke Harper.
Well, I tell you this. That the Luke Harper conversation, it is terrible. But I am happy for Rowan. And I think this wouldn't have worked with Harper in the way that it works with Rowan. The reason I say that is because the beauty of this story is that Rowan has always been somebody's heavy.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was the promo he cut Tuesday. People think I'm stupid. People think I'm simple. I'm easy to take advantage of. Blah, 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 blah. No one uses me.
We've seen Harper on multiple occasions as his own man. So it wouldn't work the same because everybody knows Harper can think for himself. We didn't think Rowan could. So that's why I think it was so beautiful. And I love the fact that they're building Rowan as almost, now this is should have been Harper, but almost Bruiser Brody-esque. Like, he powerbombed a fan. He hit Rowan in the head with a camera. Like, he's this wild berserker that is just doing anything and anything, everything he wants to, essentially because he can. And I think that's interesting, and there's not a character like that on SmackDown, which makes it kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, and I mean, Roman is a perfect first opponent, because if you're trying to get a character over, there is no better way to do that than with Roman Reigns.
And there's no better heavyweight seller. That a man like the size that Roman is, he sells so amazingly well. Okay, moving, kind of keeping with the Madison Square Garden shows, but moving on another tangent. King of the Ring. You have Big Breakfast himself, Baron Corbin, who is continuing to show the world he is a damn good wrestler and a great character. And then you got Shorty G himself, Mr. Chad Gable, beating Shane McMahon, the best in the world, two straight falls, cleaned in a bitch. What do you think about how they got there? What do you think about the final? And what do you think about the final match not being on Clash of Champions but on Raw next week?
Boo to the final match not being on Clash of Champions.
Agreed.
That's number one, that's because one. Fuck that. That is whack as shit. Mm-hmm. So that's one. Two, Big Breakfast going to hit that big stack and sit on that big throne. Three, I am really glad that they used this tournament to establish Chad Gable. Mm-hmm. Because we just sat on this podcast a couple weeks ago talking about Chad Gable. So, like, I am so glad that they have used this this tournament to really establish him as, like, a solid member of the roster. On Tuesday, like, my only real beef with the Gable versus Shane thing was that the Shane versus KO feud just won't fucking die.
Yeah, that's sad.
Like, other than that, I thought that it was a great use of Shane. I thought that this is a good way to continue to get Gable over. They're trying really, really hard to set up this David Goliath type thing for him and Big Breakfast. So, like, that'll be fun to watch. You know, all signs would point in that kind of a scenario to the David little Shorty G, but, you know, I just have a feeling that he's going to go sunny side up.
Yep. The breakfast puns never get old. If nope. If anybody saw their match in the Dusty Classic Finals, or the Dusty Classic, might have been the finals, when it was Corbin and Rhino versus American Alpha, and saw the chemistry that Corbin and Gable have, that match is going to be amazing.
When they did that tilt-a-whirl into the deep six, I was just like, give me all of that, please. Oh, into the end of days, you're right. Into the end of days. I'm sorry. I was just like, oh, yes, give me all of that.
You know what I just thought about? Nobody's kicked out of the end of days on the main roster.
Oh, shit. What if Gable kicks out of the big stack?
Bruh, can you imagine the crowd? Like, and I appreciate
the crowd lose their shit, too, because everybody hates Big Breakfast.
100%. And I appreciate, like, if you watch the Chad Gable matches, the crowd, he's not getting huge pops when he comes out, but the crowd is appreciating what he's doing in that ring. And by the time he leaves, he's getting good ovations. So the crowd will appreciate him kicking out of
that move. I also appreciate that they gave him back the American Alpha theme.
He's had it back. He's had it back for a while. He only didn't have it when he was teaming with Shelton.
I know. I hated that theme. It was awful. What else? Where else was I going with that? Shit. Baron Corbin, big stack. That's all I know. He's going to win.
the king.
One, I want to talk one more final thing about Madison Square Garden, and kind of it'll segue to our next topic. But I think the biggest moment of both nights, or the best moment. We gotta talk Kofi and Randy. What do you think about that real quick?
Go Kofi, go Kofi, go. Go Kofi, go Kofi, go. Go Kofi, go Kofi, go.
I don't like how telegraphed it was. It wasn't organic. It was so telegraphed.
I don't either, but I mean, I'm just so on the Kofi train right now, so like.
Okay, and I am too. Like, I do love their feud. I love Randy and the Revival looking straight out of 1989. Like,
I don't love Randy right. In any way, but you know.
I know, but you know what I mean.
I do.
Excuse me. But I think the biggest and probably the best moment of both nights for me, non-Stone Cold related, the Four Horsewomen, and I know you're tired of them, and other people are too. They had a great ass 20-minute match. They killed it Monday. They killed it. What do you think about their match? And we're gonna talk about Bayley here in a sec.
Well, I mean, you knew their match would be good. Like, they're all great wrestlers, and they know each other really well, and they're all friends, and they have great chemistry. So, of course, the match delivered. I'm never not impressed by them in the ring. I need Charlotte to chill with her moonsault, and I need Sasha to never do suicide dives. But other than that, I'm perpetually good with things. Now, as far as Bayley goes, like... I feel like I should care more than I do, and I feel like that's a problem.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I felt like she had lost her momentum years ago, so like a change was needed. But this new character that she's doing, I'm just not feeling it.
So here's the thing with the new character. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Bayley has...
She's turned heel, but she's not fully committed to it. Yes. And that's, I think, the problem. No. Like, she... Go ahead.
I was going to say, yes, that might be the problem. So essentially what she's doing is she's still saying the same person, happy-go-lucky, coming out to the same music with the Bayley buddies and still doing the hug thing. But she's more vicious in the ring. She's okay with doing a little bit of cheating or, like, using foreign weapons. And she's rocking with Sasha, who's the biggest heel in the women's division on either show. Go ahead.
Well, and the reason why I say her staying the same is a problem and not fully committing to it is a problem is if you're going to stay the same, you've got a Sami Zayn it. Sami Zayn stayed the same, but he dialed it up to, like, 15.
Yeah.
Instead of coming out to the ring dancing because, like, he's happy-go-lucky Sammy, now he comes out to the ring obnoxiously dancing.
Yes.
And, like, shaking around and just making an ass out of himself as a, like, yeah, fuck you. Look at me. I'm so cool. Bayley's not doing that. Yeah. Bayley's just coming out and still doing her same shit with the hands and blah, blah, blah. And then just being slightly more aggressive in the ring and hanging out with her bae.
I think there's a level of genius to it in that the gimmick Bayley is playing right now is essentially I didn't change, y'all did, right? And I think there's a level of genius to it. The problem is the crowd has been taught so often that when somebody turns, that there's a drastic difference. And how they act. As you said, it doesn't even have to be a difference of alignment. You could just be more obnoxious on your side. Bayley, as you said, hasn't done anything honestly different. So, there's more to come. And I think what hurts her is that she's facing Charlotte first, because Charlotte was the most hated heel in the business, in the women's division, but until Sasha came back. And now Charlotte's having to work as a baby, essentially. This would work so much better if she was working Ember.
I think what also hurts her in this whole situation is essentially they're trying to pull a slow burn turn.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to pull off a slow burn turn, you need someone who has more innate charisma.
than Bayley does. And because, like, I think my archetype for the slow burn turn is 2009 CM Punk, when him and Jeff Hardy were fighting for the world title.
Okay.
And he was he had cashed in Money in the Bank to win the title from Jeff, but Jeff had, like, just conquered Edge. And, like, it was this slow burn of Punk just being like, I didn't do anything. I followed the rules. I just happened to take advantage. And then it became, why are you people cheering for this drug-addled crazy person who is such a sicko, and I'm straight edge and would never do any of these things? And then it became, yeah, exactly. And the difference is, Punk has the level of charisma, and he had an understanding of what they were doing with that character to allow that really subtle, slow turn to progress. Bayley, I don't think, has that level in her. I think she's all or nothing because that's all she's got.
Do you think that maybe they could be running with this kind of haphazard turn? Because there's no doubt she's heel right now, but she's still playing kind of the hits, because they're aiming to do a final blow off between her and Sasha at WrestleMania, because Sasha inevitably is going to turn on Bayley. Sasha's using Bayley, and I think it's clear as day. Do you think that that's possibly where they're going, which is why they're doing it this way? Because if you think about it, we're in the middle of September now, so it's October, November, December, January. That's 4 months before the Mania burn. If you turn her full-on despicable heel and you want to run them in Mania, that's not a lot of time to turn her back. So if you do it this way, you can say, well, Bayley was doing what she thought was right, and then she realized Sasha didn't care about it in the first place. And everybody tried to tell her, but you can't tell somebody till they see it for themselves.
You know, that story would be good, but I just really want Bayley to be the heel in the story.
I just want her to be a heel
and
in general.
And she's not.
I just want her to be a heel in general, because I'm tired of this Bayley.
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I want there to be some moment in the, if they are building to a Bayley versus Sasha, I want there to be some moment where Sasha makes some remark and Bayley's just like, oh, honey, no one ever uses me. And, like, just beats the dog shit out of her or something. Like, well,
the one positive thing that this has done is I don't think an aggressive Bayley is bad. I think a more aggressive Bayley is good. You can still be huggable and lovable and come out here and beat somebody's ass. Roman Reigns out here chilling with kids all day, and he's still out here the most dangerous dude on the block. I think it's possible.
I think a new finisher would also help her.
Well, the belly to belly has always been trash. I like the elbow drop. It's better.
Yeah, I would agree.
That belly to belly has always been trash. And the belly to belly suplex is one of my favorite moves. But, like, that's a setup move, dog.
I agree. No, I agree. Like, that's a signature move.
And it was
not
cute.
It
was cute in NXT because during the time Bayley came up in NXT, and I'm an old school NXT watcher, everybody had a move that was like a setup move that was their finish in NXT until they found their big move. And I get why Bayley used that at the time, because she's a hugger. So to do the belly-to-belly, you have to hug them first, and then you slam them. Cute! I was waiting on the real move to come, and it never came.
Agree. No, agree. Agree, agree, agree.
So while I'm doing your journalism right now, while we're on the topic of NXT, starting this coming Wednesday, starting on the 18th, NXT will be on USA Network, because the season finale of Suits is going on the next 2 weeks. There'll be the first hour on USA, the second hour will finish on the WWE Network, still live. But some news just came out recently. Triple H basically announced in an interview that 205 Live is now being brought in as under the umbrella of NXT. So it's NXT, NXT UK, and 205 Live. That's a big deal because it could either mean one, they about to jump through the moon and really revamp this thing, or two, they're going to get rid of it. So something big is going to happen.
Yeah. I feel like they're going to get rid of it eventually. And the reason I say that is because if they're transitioning under the NXT umbrella, that means one of two things. Either A, they don't need to continue to tour with SmackDown and air before or after SmackDown, or B, it means that NXT is going to be a touring brand, and if they're going to be part of NXT, they might as well just fucking tour with NXT. So I think inevitably the move is to slowly dissolve the show, but they might be keep it. They might keep it.
I think they're going to keep it for two reasons. Number one, diversity. There's always another hour of television they could throw out there at any time, right? And number two, it allows them to... Johnny Gargano has said he's never leaving NXT, right?
Right.
If he goes and does a month or two or does some angles in 205, he's not leaving NXT because it's under NXT, but that can still be something different for him to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, no, I agree.
So I think... I think it's a great idea, personally. I think, and if the rumors are right from what we're hearing, 205 will be back at Full Sail, which is what they needed the whole time.
Agreed. That will be a much better audience for them. Much better.
I think the interesting thing about this whole situation, though, is if you've been watching, you don't watch 205, so very clearly it doesn't matter. But like, they've been doing.
Sad, but
it's okay. They've been having some NXT guys come over on 205. Isaiah Swerve Scott, Angel Garza, Kushida.
That's been going back for months, though. I mean, Roddy Strong was part of a tournament on 205 Live a few months back.
Like, and he won
his first match. Matches.
Yeah, he won like two rounds in it. So I think that's interesting. And if you look at the NXT roster, of course, you know, you have guys like Keith Lee and Dijakovic and Damian Priest and Killian Dane, like a few guys. But for the most part, like 70% of that roster, male roster, are
cruisers.
Yeah, so it works.
The entire Undisputed Era, cruisers.
Roddy might be
Dream
the only one.
Tall cruiser.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Roddy might be the only one, and if Roddy's the only one, it's because he's like 210.
100%. Yeah, exactly. He's not 205. They announced Adam Cole as 215. Bro, no, he's not.
No, you're not. No, he's not. He's only like 5'11". There's no way he's 215.
Speaking of NXT and the Undisputed Era, do you think Kevin Owens is going to show up on NXT Wednesday, seeing as he was fired?
Well, I mean, you know, that cryptic tweet that he sent out, you know, I could see it being NXT. I would love to see him do a little brief stint on NXT. What better way to do the premiere of NXT on USA Network than have them bring in a big star like Kevin Owens?
I think it works out perfectly for both parties. And it's got to be temporary because he's got to get his heat back against Shane. But,
of course.
And Kevin's talked about how much he still loves NXT and about like how Adam Cole is like his best friend.
I was going to say, Kevin Owens and Adam Cole are like almost as close as Kevin and Sammy are.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, like him and Cole are
very, very close personal friends. So I could absolutely see that. And I mean, he gets along with all with most of the rest of those guys because he was in Ring of Honor with most of the rest of those guys.
Well, the whole roster. He showed a picture today on Twitter at Disney World, and Tommaso Ciampa was walking hand in hand with his daughter. Like, so, yeah.
Yeah.
He knows what's up.
Yeah. So, like, be happy to go there. I think more interesting to me than 205 joining NXT is the announcement about the takeover situation with NXT.
Okay. Do you want to go into it or do you want me to break it down?
Oh, I think you're better at breaking it down. So, you break it down.
So, consistent, as has been, historically, WWE normally runs 5 takeovers a year, 4 of them with the big 4 pay-per-views, and a fifth is just another pay-per-view time. So every Royal Rumble, they did Saturday takeover, Sunday Rumble, Monday Raw, Tuesday SmackDown, so on and so forth. Well, starting this year at the Royal Rumble, which is going to be in Houston, shout out to my city, there won't be NXT TakeOver on that Saturday. They're going to do the World's Collide show, which is the show they did that they've done numerous times with like all the different brands, and they'll have matches and a battle royal and all these different things where brands get to interface each other. So like you got to see Tyler Bate versus like Velveteen Dream, or you got to see Luke Harper, I think, faced some dude from like NXT. Like, it's really interesting matchups you don't normally see. And them making a pay-per-view of it lets me know that they plan on it being really, really big. I think that's dope. What do you think?
No, I mean, I agree. That is really cool. I think it's really cool to have those during those big 5 pay-per-view weekends. I'm curious to see when they will decide to move the takeovers.
Well, very clearly, I think we all understand they don't need to be on their own. They can be on their own. They don't need the rub of being with the WWE pay-per-view anymore. Like, they'll
stay
on their
own. I'm also curious to see, now that they're going to be on actual television as an actual brand, are they going to get some WrestleMania play?
Well, do you want WrestleMania to be 2 days like Wrestle Kingdom?
I mean, homeboy, no, but like, it ain't like people ain't going to shell out that cash, number one. But number two, like, you know as well as I do that I am firmly on record as saying we are at a point where we need to start limiting number of matches and not putting everybody on the card.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I
like, I'm not saying, like, there needs to be like 4 NXT matches at Mania, but I'm just curious if, like, oh, does that mean the NXT championship is going to be contested at Mania this year?
Well, let me tell you what I'd like to do, what I'd like to see. Now, granted, this Mania is going to be drastically different for numerous reasons. Number one,
Friday. It's a pirate ship?
It's going to be where?
It's going to be on a pirate ship?
Well, there will be a pirate ship involved, so yes, that's part of it. But normally it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Now it's gonna be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Oh Jesus, that's just right? So intimidating.
Because SmackDown's live on Fridays now.
That's easier to arrange travel for, but that's so intimidating.
Well, not only is it intimidating, but it kills a lot of the stuff because, like, this past year, they did TakeOver on Friday, Hall of Fame Saturday, Mania Sunday. How are they gonna pull that off now with SmackDown on Friday? So they're gonna move the Hall of Fame to Thursday.
Oh jeez.
But anyway, that's down the line. What I'd like to see, what I'd really like to see personally, is I would like to see them do that takeover on Saturday, but you supersize it and involve NXT UK and 205 and have that be the super show for all NXT shows. So instead of 5 NXT proper matches, have like 8 matches total, but like have 205 Live champion, Cruiserweight Championship in the NXT UK. You know what I'm saying? Like, have it a big...
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It'd be an opportunity to bring the UK guys in.
And because Walter said he'll come to America to do a match or two, he's just not moving here.
I respect that. I mean, if I had the opportunity to live in a country with nationalized health care over the U.S., I would too.
Oh, boy.
So, but anyway. All right, it's getting late. Let's get them out of here. Tell them where they can find us and all that fun stuff.
Well, I am at it's Ray Cash, R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. Carl, of course, is at Outsider Curvin.
He's the best Twitter out of all of us, y'all. He really is.
Carl's Twitter is good enough that he should be verified. Like, his shit is on point.
I'm at Dr. S'mores.
The show is at Outsiders Edge CS. We are a part of the Chairshot Radio Network at Chairshot.com, where you
always use your head.
Take more, man.
Yo,
thanks for
always.
Listening, guys. We missed y'all.
And we'll, you know, record better in the future. Like, we say that all the time, but we really do mean it. We're going to be better. As always, y'all, we here at the Outsider's Edge are just some people out here trying to make it in this world, and we're doing the best we can at that, the only way we know how. And sometimes we fuck up and we forget to record an episode, and other times we're just dealing with family drama or unexpected bullshit. And sometimes we say things on the show that just piss you off. And, you know, we understand. But, like, we're just out here chasing our dreams, y'all. And you got to respect that. Because if you don't, well, we just don't give a fuck.
Fuck 'em.
Thanks for listening. Catch y'all later.